Hi, my name is Frances.
I'm Alice.
And welcome to this week's episode of Two Friends in a Pod, a place for friends to catch up on movies, music, TV, and pop culture. And quick update, ScoMo's gone. Just like a little update because I teased it last week.
You haven't heard already. <It's gone.
laughs> Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a little bit of politics in this chill podcast and you know, we'll slide right back into our normal programming.
Not a political podcast, but where were we? I feel like this episode may be a little bit, we'll see. Chippendale. We watched Chippendale on the weekend.
We tried to watch
This is a really bad intro, sorry. But basically, so Chippendale came out on the weekend on Disney Plus. Did you ever watch Chippendale as a cartoon?
Like the show?
Yeah.
I definitely came across it like just on Disney Channel and stuff, but I wasn't like a big fan or I followed it. Like religiously, but I was like, you know, they're cute chipmunks.
I think it may have been a little bit before our time, and that's probably why we don't look at it like too fondly, like, you know, in a nostalgic way or anything. But I mean, a new Disney movie, why not, right? Give it a go. I really think when we all started watching this movie, I was really like, who is the audience? Because I'm like, it's not really me because it's like not really, like I don't have the nostalgia for it. It's not really for kids either.
Oh no, like, not at all.
Yeah, so I'm like, is this really targeted to like an older demographic? In which case, but a 60-year-old, I don't know why I said 60 automatically. I'm sure Chippendale is that old.
It came out in the, its original release was from 1989 to 1990. And then, you know, during the 90s, it had like reruns on the Disney Channel.
Okay. So like maybe someone who's 10 years our senior. So someone who's 40.
40?
Just basically 60.
Might as well.
So like would a 40-year-old look at this Chippendale movie and be like, yeah, sure. Maybe they would because it'd be like, oh, I remember Chippendale, like, liked it. Guess maybe in the same way that we were sort of drawn to the remake of like Lizzie McGuire, of course, that never happened, but like something like that where it's like it has that, that nostalgia factor and then you'll watch it just for the sake of it, even if it's not necessarily good.
Because you're curious about like what they've done with the character that you're familiar with. Because it's, you know, even when you're watching the movie, it's not for kids. Like even taking that Chippendale, like where the era they're from aside, I think the movie itself is it's like very meta. It's very sort of Who Framed Roger Rabbit sort of, and then jokes for adults in the style that, you know, Shrek did and all that. So, and like jokes about media consumption and the entertainment industry and all that sort of stuff that will just fly over kids' heads. So I'm just like, who's this for?
I feel like maybe kids will like it because literally just cute chipmunks. Essentially. And then also there are like more modern references. So we see like, I think one of my favorite references was like the Sonic the Hedgehog, but like specifically the ugly Sonic the Hedgehog, the one that everyone, as you say, bullied off the internet. So I think that was probably one of my favorite ones because it was like so current and it's a current reference that I think people would get now, whereas some of the older references maybe would fly over people's heads a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting take on animation because it kind of like channeled the whole journey of animation from, you know, that 2D hand-drawn Chippendale, whatever, to the more 3D realistic animation that we have now and like the various stages in between as well. Yeah, I thought it was really clever. It was surprising to me.
It felt like something different. Because it does a fun thing of combining, like you said, different animation styles. So it even has like some characters in claymation. Some are just like normal, like human beings, live actors mixed in with stop motion-y people or, you know, hand-drawn CGI. So yeah, it's something different. And I think Space Jam tried to do that, like revive that style of movie again. And I didn't watch the new Space Jam, but I remember you told me you couldn't get through it.
Yeah, it was difficult. And I wonder... I was like, I think I would give it another go, but I don't think I'm alone in thinking that it wasn't a great movie.
Okay. Yeah. I think many people agree with you.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of dull.
Mm.
And I think they've tried to maybe incorporate a more modern take on it, or trying to integrate something more modern into it where it didn't quite like work. But the animation, yeah, sure, it's great. Like, not against the whole cartoon in real world. Like, you know, as you said, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like, it's a classic, right? Yeah. It's a way to kind of mix the two worlds. Even SpongeBob freaking does it. Like, you know, like, if it works, it works.
And I feel like this is, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see like new Looney Tunes movies, and they all just seem to be mining the old like cartoons from like the 80s and 90s now. So I wouldn't be surprised seeing those characters come to life again.
As they should.
Yeah. Weren't they going to make a Pepe Le Pew movie before? What? Yeah.
Then what is that?
Oh, the skunk that like, oh no, what is he, a skunk?
The skunk?
The one that like sexually harasses women.
Yeah, I do know who.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Rather. Why would they revive that?
I don't know. Well, they were just like, wow, what a great idea. Yeah, it was cancelled. So Max Landis, who made Bright, An Incredible Mind over there, was going to make a Pepe Le Pew movie, a feature film. And then he got cancelled for his sexual assault allegations, which is funny, but given the nature of the character.
It's ironic.
Interesting. Mm. Anyway, the movie got scrapped. Yeah, but who was even asking for a Pepe Le Pew movie?
Yeah, nobody. But the thing with like the whole Disney Plus platform, right, is that Disney now has all this licensing, right, and all this character. And they own all these characters and stories. And now that they've been given a platform where people have access, like readily more access to it, like more so than they've ever had with like the Disney Channel and stuff, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Can really invest in what they already have developed. Like, it's an easier, more guaranteed way, maybe, get engagement into their platform from new and old viewers.
Yeah. Because I mean, makes sense. You watch the Chippendale movie, you get introduced to them, maybe you go back and watch The Rescue Rangers, streaming on Disney Plus, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That makes sense. You're right. No one asked for this.
Chippendale?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty funny, though. I mean,
I did enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, I think, is it Chip that's voiced by Andy Samberg?
I think so. Yeah, I don't remember. One of them is Andy Samberg.
Yeah, and it's funny. So he kind of, and it's like very meta, so he is actually Chip and or Dale, and they're like washed up. They used to be really successful actors in the Rescue Rangers, but you know, their career, they faded from the limelight. One is now I think Chip is the insurance salesperson. Dale is like desperately trying to hang on to, what's the word?
His career.
How to say that. He's desperately trying to hang on to his career as an actor and like going to like Comic Con sort of events and just being like, hey, remember me? And struggling. And he still believes that they can be Chippendale, the Rescue Rangers again. So he's like, you know, calling his agent, looking for opportunities, still wants to be a celebrity. And then it sort of devolves into like a mystery crime solving case, and they have to like get the gold gang back together and solve like all these cartoon characters going missing. So it's actually pretty fun. Part of it is just you're watching and like seeing all the references. Like at one point there's a billboard and there's a movie called E.T. versus Batman.
Which sounds awesome, by the way.
And you get to see a little clip of it, and E.T.'s like, E.T. forgive Batman. And then Batman's like, fine.
Yeah, I think it was like a surprising movie because it was funny. I think it was another thing. Like, I was genuinely like laughing out loud at some of those references because they're so ridiculous, right? I mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog, like the ugly version. And they kept zooming in on his human teeth.
And then whenever Chip and Dale like talking to him, they get so distracted by his teeth. Like, they're so disturbed by it, which is what we all experience.
But just like the camera would just like zoom in and just be just teeth for like a few seconds. And it's like funny. That's like funny. It's just funny, okay.
And they had like all the cameos from like, they had Flounder, like, who else did they have? They had a million. Like,
and like the Coke Bear.
Yeah, the Coke Bear.
Yeah.
Peter Pan. Like, it was deep cuts and like ones beyond like Disney as well. Like you said, Sonic, that's not like a Disney character. So it was just like fun to watch and be like, oh my God, it's that person. oh my god, it's like a reference to this, and being able to spot them.
Mm.
Yeah, surprisingly funny.
I did quite enjoy it.
Mm. And it's like sweet. It's like, you know, two friends who've been separated after like a big misunderstanding, coming back together, learning to work again.
Mm.
And you know what? In the end, they're like two really cute chipmunks. Like, it's cute. Undeniably.
They're two cartoon chipmunks. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, it was cute. It's funny. Yeah, just very watchable.
Yeah, and a lot of visual gags. So you know how like Chip and Dale, like they're tiny, and just seeing them like walk into a house, and it's like a tiny house, but right next to it is like a normal human size house.
Oh my god! You know that scene where it's like their first meeting or something? It's like it's a flashback, and then one of them is on a table in the cafeteria, and it's like this tiny little thing like in the middle. Like, how does no one like step on this chipmunk?
I love the backstory. The backstory is like Chip and or Dale, one of them was a new kid in school, and then like Chip and or Dale made friends, and like they hung out together, became best friends, and became actors together.
Really, really cute.
Yeah, so wholesome. Yeah, I think it might look a little random when it shows up on your homepage, but I would say give it a go.
Yeah, give it a go.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. Even if you haven't watched Chip and Dale, I think it's easy enough to grasp what it's about.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And if you're just like familiar with Disney properties and just pop culture news from the last couple of years, I think you'll get it.
Great. What else have we been watching? So Bling Empire Season 2, which was just released on Netflix.
Yes.
I.
She looks disappointed.
I'm disappointed. I did not enjoy this season as much as season one. I would say season one was already on the brink of not being a good show. But it was simply like fun because it was like, oh, crazy rich Asians. And it wasn't super, super pretentious like we had seen other similar like reality TV shows featuring crazy rich Asians. I say that in quotation marks. There's a few examples of that, like on Stan and stuff. I think like House of Ho.
Yeah.
There's another one, but I can't think of it at the moment. So it was already like, it was sort of verging on that. Like, this is not great. Like in terms of the whole atmosphere of reality TV, I would say these characters need more development. They need more experience, but that can be honed in. That can be whatever. It was still entertaining enough. And I think the characters were compelling enough that you did want to keep watching. Season two, however, felt like a hot mess. Me. There were so many like unfinished plot lines, so many really annoying characters. And I think like when we talk about like great reality TV shows, like I'm thinking like Selling Sunset, where we have Christine, who is awful, right? But she's so watchable. Yes. Yeah, exactly. She's so watchable. She's fun. Even though you hate her, you love to hate her, right? Like she is she's probably one of the best examples of a villain I've seen on like reality TV because she's just so fun. Like it's, you can't imagine a show without her, right? But my dear Kane.
he turns out to be somewhat of the villain in this season.
Yeah.
And yet his villainry is so terrible. It's terrible. And I think the whole season, all of season two, my reaction was all these people are fighting, but I just don't understand what they're fighting about. This fight seems ridiculous. It seems stupid, but it's so bland as well. So it's not like I'm at least laughing at them for having a stupid petty fight. It's just like, I really don't get where this is going. And then suddenly it's over. Suddenly there's like a new fight going on. We're like flip flopping between different fights. And then some fights, they don't end. It's not even resolved.
Yeah.
We just forget about it. And it never gets brought up again. I'm just like, what happened with this person?
I totally agree. I think victim of editing, maybe, but there were so many things. Maybe I have a theory that they didn't have enough content, so they had to just like.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah, because I think they've just kind of like changed things and been like, oh no, we don't have enough. Let's just like keep going. They'll just throw in another thing, and then they're just probably getting Kane to be the like so-called villain to kind of like wrap things up almost in a way and almost to move the plot line along. But I think it ends up being really annoying because you're like constantly seeing him being like, oh, I heard this person say this, and you're like, but like who cares, like it's not a big deal. Like, to me, like the whole season, I was just like, oh, like literally, who cares about this drama? Like, nobody.
Nobody cares. And I agree.
Nobody cares.
It seemed like they didn't film enough. Or they only had limited time to film people, a very short amount of time. We need to get as much out of this that we possibly can. We just like to juice it so hard that all that's left is like a shriveled husk. But it just doesn't translate into compelling TV. Mm. So you're really just like, your mind is wandering. You're like, I don't care about any of these people. And all of them are just sort of saying like, so-and-so is my ride or die. Like, we've been friends forever. Like, I care about this person, and you know that's why the fight is so important. I'm just like, I actually don't believe you. I think you just met at season one and the producers introduced you. Like, I actually don't believe you guys are that close. Have such a strong relationship. Yeah, are so close that this matters so much to you. I was like, because this is stupid.
Yeah. And I think like when we talk about reality TV, one show that we have been watching on the side is The Kardashians. And I think what makes The Kardashians so watchable, right? And that's why we have 20 odd seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and now they've renewed their whole show. I think what makes them so watchable is that they're really good at talking to the camera. Like, they're so experienced. They know how to make good TV. They produce and edit to the point where it is fun to watch, even if nothing's happening, right? Like, because realistically, nothing much is happening. They're just living their lives, doing their jobs, whatever. And I think the other thing is that because they're literally a family, the relationships between them are genuine because they are,
they're
right?
Real.
Like, they're actually sisters. So at the end of the day, they've got this like bond. And so it feels believable when they're like, oh, but she's my sister. Oh, but that's my mom. Like, it feels believable because you can see not only are they actually like related to each other, but there is a genuine like friendship and like loyalty, I guess, within the family. Mm. And, you know, like they do value family and all that sort of stuff, and you kind of can see like that come through, whereas like Gambling Empire and some other like reality TV shows, like, it just feels forced. Like, this is an ensemble cast, we just need all these hot people and you guys are friends now.
Hot rich Asians.
yeah, you guys are friends now, right?
Friends, besties. Yeah, I think one of the plot points that really annoyed me was Kevin and Kim's romance, which was so forced. Number one on Kim, I really want her to get a center parting. I'm so sorry, but that side parting is a severe side parting, that it's always falling into her face and she's constantly sweeping her fringe out of her face. And I feel like this is a sign of me getting older, because I was like, girl, just get a center parting. This is really annoying me.
Just like move it slightly to the side. Like, please. Just 1 centimeter. You can still just have your side parting.
It's one of those like really on the edge side parties. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's really bothering me. And I think that made me judge her whole character. I was like, I can't stand your hair. But yeah, her romance with Kevin, there was no chemistry. It was negative chemistry.
It was a strange dynamic because you have Kevin being like, I really like you. And Kim's kind of like, I like you too, but like, don't pursue me.
Yeah.
In a way. And then she stood him up on a date. He asked him to take a lie detector test. And
wild.
During that lie detector test, she was like, I don't want to be with you. And I was like, what?
And then he gets mad at her. And I, at that point, I understand why he's angry. Because
of course he's angry.
He stood him up. He's tried really hard. They've been on what looks like, at least they had fun on some dates.
Mm.
They went to a farm or whatever. And then he agrees to this lie detector test. And in the test, he says he likes her, he has feelings for her, and they're read as true. And then she sits there and goes, no, I don't have feelings for him. And it's just like, well, why did you even, like, what was the point of making him go through this whole?
I completely agree.
And he's getting mad and she's like, why are you getting angry? And I'm like, girl.
The lack of self-awareness is real.
She was like, I can't, because you're getting so mad at me. Like, this isn't fair. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like not even like good drama. Like, they could have played that out a bit more, where it's more like succinct, or more like there's a flow to that storyline, because let's be real, it's a storyline where she could have lied. Maybe the better way would be for her to be like, yes, I do. And then that come out as a lie. And then she confesses afterwards that actually she about and whatever. Like, there's a better way of constructing this narrative. Come on, let us work for you guys.
She's like, I don't really have that strong feelings for you. And in the lie detector test just basically confirms that. I'm like, well, we already knew this because it was so obvious. And he's acting all shocked, like, you don't like me?
Like, yeah, but I mean, to be fair, like, she was giving him all these like prompts to be like,
yeah,
I'll trust you if you take a lie detector test. And obviously he's gonna be like, well, I think I've got a chance. At least
I take a lie detector test.
And everyone's like, that's a red flag. And it's like, yeah, no shit.
All his friends are like, you know, that's not good of us, like, that's not a great sign. Like, to start a relationship with a lie detector test is a bit off. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? I'll do it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
Because for TV, he did it for TV. But either way, it's just like, why are you getting angry at me? Why are you getting mad at me? I'm like, wouldn't you be mad? I'd be mad.
So mad.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? What a waste of my time.
Exactly, I think.
Yeah.
And then freaking Kane at the party where, sorry, he was telling Kim on the side, like, oh, by the way, he slept with some girl like a month ago. It was like, it was literally like a month ago. And he's like, I would do it for anyone. I would do it for you if I knew, like, you weren't being true. I'm like, why are you inserting yourself into this relationship? Like, and then Kim, yeah, actually Kim took it
so seriously. Yeah, I was like, well, you guys aren't together. It was like a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. You guys aren't together.
What does this have to do with you? What does this have to do with you? And Kim's acting like this is a huge betrayal. Like, how am I supposed to trust you? Supposed to trust another word that comes out of your mouth when you slept with a girl 1 month before anything happened between us. How am I supposed to trust you? You know what? It reminds me of this TikTok where it's like, how dare my boyfriend have a girlfriend before me? He should have stayed loyal until he found me. It's just like that sort of insane logic.
You know what, though? That's a vibe.
How dare he date anyone else? I kind of believe he was just sitting there waiting for me.
That is a vibe.
Men are not loyal.
They're all trash.
They're all trash.
But I have to say, my least favorite storyline was the whole Cherie thing that came out of it.
That did not have an ending, unless I totally missed it.
Yeah. So the whole Cherie and Jesse were like main like players in the first season. Their storyline was that Cherie wanted to get married to Jesse. They have like two kids together. One of them's called Dior. I don't know what the other one's called. Chanel, maybe.
Chanel, Gucci.
Prada.
Yves Saint Laurent.
So she really wanted to get married to him, but he would never like propose, and he'd always be like, oh, like later, whatever. So at the end of the last episode of season one, she basically is just like, you know what? He's not going to ask me, so I'm going to ask him. And so she plans like a party and she proposes to him, and he like looks like the least impressed about this wedding proposal, like, because it's in front of all their friends. She takes him up on stage and proposes to him. He's just
on camera.
Like, yeah, he's like not happy at all.
He's really stunned. He's like, how do I get out of this? But he's like, yeah, okay.
Cool.
She should leave him, but aside from that, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the drama in this season?
So beginning of season two, we see that she's trying to plan the wedding. They haven't committed to a date yet. Seems like he's just sort of like flip-flopping around. And then
he's being so uncommittal and like,
yeah,
like procrastinating.
Yeah, like he's not like that keen on this wedding, to be honest. He's just like happy to not have it. So the drama is Kane talks to, no, is it Kane? No, Jamie talks to some mutual friend of Cherie who says, oh, by the way, Cherie's husband was dating someone before and he has a whole family, like with two kids. He was married with a wife when Cherie met him. And so it makes Cherie look like this whole like homewrecker, basically. Because there's like some interlap between her meeting Jesse and him being married, right?
Yes.
That's also because none of them knew Jesse had a whole other like family, basically. That's the drama. Anyway, the reason why I dislike this storyline is because one, Cherie basically leaves the show. So I think it's confirmed that she has left the show. So she never continued with the storyline, which means she doesn't have a chance to like say anything about it. She just which I think is kind of unfair on her part. And also I feel like they shouldn't have included it if she legitimately doesn't want to be part of it, because now we have this like drama, I guess, or storyline, and then no one can do anything about it because all they're going to do is Kane is like, oh my God, I can't believe she didn't tell me. I feel so betrayed. And then that's all it is. He just tells people that he feels betrayed, but it's like, but why one, why do you feel betrayed? And also two, what are you going to do about it? Like, seriously?
Yeah, it's just him going around to different groups of people and be like, did you hear this? I feel so betrayed.
Yeah.
And then he goes trots off to his next meeting. I'm so betrayed. I feel so betrayed. I'm emotionally distraught because my best friend betrayed me for not telling me this thing. And it's like, because, yeah, like you said, she's not there for this whole fight to culminate in something. It's literally him just trotting around and saying the same thing over and over. I'm like, I'm sick of hearing this. I don't care if she felt betrayed. What's going to happen? She's not here anymore to do anything about it.
That's the thing. They should, if she had left the show like halfway through or whatever, they should have just like taken it out and not featured her at all, because now we just have like her in one episode being like, oh, we're still figuring out the wedding, and then we never hear from her again. It's like, why did you include that?
Well, I feel like we hinted at in the beginning, it's probably because they had nothing else. They couldn't fill it up with anything else. They just didn't have the content.
Yeah, but now we just like, it just feels so unfinished. And we'll never know. Then I think, there's like, I guess behind the scenes or like after the show had aired, people like were looking into like Cherie and her like ex-husband and stuff. I think the person that he was married to before, her name was like Crystal or something, has like publicly come out and been like, oh, Cherie is like a homewrecker, basically.
Oh, really? Like,
the story. Yeah, for sure.
I saw that Jesse and Cherie got married secretly.
They did get married, yeah.
Yeah. God, finally. Jesse actually did something.
I wonder if he got married because it makes this it look better. Yeah, I wonder. I mean, if I was Cherie, I also wouldn't want that to be aired on TV, to be quite honest. It just doesn't. It feels intrusive in a way. Because it's it feels like you're just digging for something that's not related to, like, what's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Well, anyway, that was, like, a random plot line. And then what else was there? It was basically, like, Kane just starting rumors, Kane just going here and there, being dramatic. And then I guess there was, like, Anna.
Yes, Christine.
And Christine, where Christine is like, I heard that Anna wants to end me. She's going to kill me. What if she attacks my baby? And then that just sustains like a couple of episodes where Kane is like they're going to Christine and talking about it, going to Jamie and talking about it, going to all these other people and talking about it. Like, I wonder if they said it. I wonder if that's true. And then just like going to Anna and talking about it. I'm like, this cannot be the whole show. This cannot be the approach they take for season 3. It's so boring.
No, and then I think when he takes it to Anna, she's like, I literally don't have the time to end on.
The bright light in this season is Anna, as she was, I think, in season 1, where she's like, she says great things when people try to stir up drama with her. She's like, money doesn't interest me. This bores me. Kane, why are you stirring up rumors? Why are you gossiping? This is stupid. This is boring. Stop talking to me. Like, she just shuts it down.
She's blunt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
But I did find myself like not even to enjoy those moments as well. I think just because like the content, like it was just such bore, I think. But you know what? I still watched it.
Yeah. I just feel like there needs to be stronger chemistry between the cast members. And just like
tighter plot lines.
Plotting. Yeah, just need some plot lines. Oh, but I guess in like a random thing is, who's that girl who had the terrible ex-boyfriend? Drew.
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly. Yeah, Drew randomly shows up in one of the last episodes and then just ends. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have like, is that hinting to season 3 or is that hinting to like a reunion or something? Not sure. But anyway, sure. I don't know why. Why did we bring back someone that we all just like happy to leave that, like in my opinion. I'd rather have a boring season 3 than have him back.
Ugh, gross. Yeah,
because I think he genuinely like wasn't, he did bring drama, but I would say it wasn't enjoyable.
No, it was like unsafe.
It's really hard to watch.
Drama and like violent and angry. And then they try to introduce those new characters, like you had that guy with the bedazzled toilet and his wife. Do you remember the like super rich
oh,
people?
Oh yeah, the old guy and the younger wife.
Yeah,
Kimmy.
That was just like a random addition.
Yeah, they introduced a few new characters to them, and like basically their story is that they're just rich, like really really rich. Like there's nothing to them, but they're just really lavish rich. And rich. And then there was also another girl that is friends with Jamie. Her story is that like she's moving to New York.
Her storyline was literally her seeing an apartment. I was like, what is the point of you being here?
She doesn't get along with Kane. Well, I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was another person who was Cherie's, like, friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just so dull. And then Jamie's plot was, like, she kind of had a couple of awkward dates. And then she did a fashion shoot. Like, her plot line was, I'm really awkward and I love fashion.
I didn't enjoy it. I think they were trying to give her more airtime. To be honest, I quite like Jamie. I think she's likable as a person.
I don't know if she's good for TV, though.
I agree. I completely agree. Yeah.
Like, she's a bit
monotone and, you know, she's. I think she feels young as well.
Yeah. At least Kane can speak to the camera and be very, like, outgoing and all that, whereas Jamie just seems really quiet and, like you said, monotone. So it's like she's not the most engaging when she appears, especially by herself.
That being said, though, she has a YouTube channel. And I think she's watchable on that because she kind of just talks about fashion and, you know, things that she's bought and stuff. I don't mind her in that format where she's like talking about something that she clearly like really enjoys as well. But like her in an everyday setting, you know, eating ice cream and stuff, I'm just like, it's not the most engaging scenario for her personally because it's not something she's probably that into. You can tell that she's, like, forcing herself to be in that situation. Yeah.
See, the Kardashians, like, even when they're cutting a cucumber, they do it in such a fun way that you can't help but laugh or being, you know, just be shocked by it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of TV I want.
Like, their reactions feel natural and also interesting. I think I mean, they're also very experienced. Like, it's hard to compete because I just think they're just elite, like, reality stars. To be honest, like, they've been training for years now.
Some of them have been training since they were kids. Like, they were born into this.
Even when you watch, like, say, like, the first season of the Kardashians, like, they're just compelling people. Like, they just know, or maybe they just don't care about how they appear on camera. Maybe that's the part that makes them natural.
Maybe.
Not sure. But anyway, there is very clear reason. We're being very practical and pragmatic about why we like reality TV.
Will you be watching Bling Empire season 3 though?
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I don't have high hopes for it. As I had high hopes for season 2 because I was like, oh, like that was a very promising start.
It'll only get better from here. But it has not.
No.
Good luck to all the Bling Empire crew. Do we have any like updates aside from Jesse and Shuri getting married secretly?
I don't think so. I don't think there was anything to update. I'm guessing Kim and Kevin are not together.
So I'm seeing this thing where Dorothy Wang, the New York apartment girl, apparently she filmed a lot about her health battle and all her scenes were cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? It's not like they had anything else to show.
Speaking to Metro.co.uk, the star revealed viewers didn't get to see her health journey, which she had filmed. She said, well, I think in general a lot was cut out.
Yes, it checks out. But also, how did they choose what they chose?
Yeah, it wasn't the best. Yeah, she goes, that to me was disappointing because like, I just felt like it would have been a great story to tell and a great story to share. Instead, the series shone a light on her feud with co-star Kane Lim.
Yeah, which was stupid, to be honest.
Which was like a lunch. That was literally just a lunch, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then it was a setup. So it was like she didn't know he was coming and he didn't know that she was coming and they went there and then they had like a little spat and then he left and then that was it. It was literally nothing.
I don't think this season made Kane very popular with the viewers either.
By the way, he's part of the Oppenheim group.
Yeah, I saw. And he's filming something with Chrishell because I think they hinted out throughout the season that he was selling houses or doing something.
Yeah, he was in
houses.
Real estate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What if we see him as a realtor and selling Sunset?
I don't want to.
Can you imagine him and Christine?
Oh, God. Christine would eat him alive.
He would die. I don't think he's ever faced a force as strong as Kristen.
No. Because I think also when he was defending himself, it wasn't as convicted as you would have liked, I think, in a villain as well. Like, you could tell he was, like, forcing those reasonings, where with Christine, you're like, you know that she's, you she feel believes, like yeah. she believes what she's saying. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. He was fumbling. He was fumbling hard, especially in that fight outside the party when Kevin was confronting him. He was just sort of like, oh, I can't understand
myself. He did wrong. Yeah, he did wrong. That's the thing. When Kevin was literally like arguing about the timeline of things.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's like, well, that's just fact. It's not even like, you know. It's not a matter of like, oh, no, you're wrong. It's like, no, like, this is literally a timeline.
But I'll do the same for you.
It's like, yeah, sure.
Oh, Kane and his threaded face. Good luck to him. I wish the best for him. What else did we watch over the weekend?
Another Netflix rom-com. I feel like there's been quite a few recently, or maybe they're just constant.
They don't stop.
I don't know, but I feel like we've had a pretty good run lately. So Perfect Pairing, starring Victoria Justice, and also
Adam Demos.
Demos? An Australian.
Our Aussie mate.
And so this movie was directed by an Australian too, so Stuart McDonald. And he directed iconic Australian TV shows, Summer Heights High.
Oh my God.
Demay, Private School Girl.
Wow.
Owner from Tonga.
What the hell? He's directed everything, all Australian shows that we have.
And then he also did Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We did 12 episodes of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a pretty good track record. But the fact that he did things like Summer Heights High and like, you know, Jamie Private School Girl, like, that's crazy to me. The same person who did those did this romantic comedy.
He did The Secret Life of Us. I remember that show being
Like he's pretty like prominent in Australian TV.
Oh my God. Okay, go Stuart McDonald.
Yeah, not bad, but this is a far cry from whatever he's done. I guess he did like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is like, sort of rom-com, but it's
now he's doing feature film.
Yeah, maybe he has used that experience though, because I think what really works in a perfect pairing is the comedy in it. Think of that. Anyway, we'll get to it. But have you watched Falling in Love?
Oh, of course I have.
Yeah, with Christine Milian, which is also a very similar premise. So I think like watching this, I just couldn't help but like, you know, refer back to that movie because it's so similar. The male actor is also the same. So it's like it's hard to not draw the parallels, right? Both movies are like American coming over to Australia, like fish out of water into a specifically rural area of Australia. So I think in Falling in Love is like a sea beach town. This is like literally a farm. So Victoria Justice plays this, she works for like a wine importer, I guess.
I think she's like a sales sort of person. She manages like clients at restaurants.
She's like an account manager or something.
Like to distribute wines to like restaurants and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's very good at her job. She knows all her wines, as you see in the beginning scene. She's like picking up all the notes.
Ooh, it's like notes of cherry and cocoa and coffee and oak.
And she's good at her job and she's passionate about her job. And then she basically has this awful boss who she like butts heads with. And he overlooks her for a promotion because I think someone else also steals her idea for like a up and coming wine, the Vaughan Wine Company or something. And then she quits publicly. And then she's like, I'm going to start my own company. And I'm also going to go for that Vaughan Wine. And they're based in Australia. So I'm just going to go to Australia and talk to the client there. So she's like, go get her. That's what they call her.
She takes initiative. She's driven. She loves her job. She knows how to get results. So she's like, you know, I'm just going to show up and introduce myself and charm her. And I'll be distributing her wines. Like it's all going to happen.
Too easy.
I'm going to pack all my pink and purple tops that I earned because it's exclusively what she is dressed in. And I'm going to trot my way from LA to good old, where did they film this? Like, I think it's like rural Queensland.
Was filmed in Nhumbinba Valley and suburb located within Queensland's Gold Coast.
Do you remember Romance on the Menu as well?
Oh my god, yeah.
That chef went to Lemon Myrtle Cove.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. This seems to be like a genre of like, yeah, like you said, city gals from America going and finding love in a hopeless place, aka Australia.
Lord, is this a very niche genre that they're gonna like have now? I think the funny thing is, like, it's always like a rural town in Australia, like, and I know why, because it works. It's funny, right? It's funnier for have someone who's like big hotshot city gal, and then have to like live in rural town Australia where there's like absolutely nobody. There's nothing there.
It's like, oh, there's no mall here. There's no Sephora here. It's that sort of vibe.
Bad girls. And then, of course, like, I guess the stereotype of like the blonde farmer boy.
Blonde, blue-eyed, muscly, six-pack, doesn't mind getting a bit dirty. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm an Aussie bloke.
And I think because, like, maybe the personality association with a character like that is much more like low-key and like, oh, he's like a nice guy, because what other motives could he have? He's just a country boy.
Country people are all peaceful. They're just laid back, chill, love to relax, no worries.
So I'm thinking, like, it's strange because I think when people talk about Australia or, like, you know, the tourism or, I don't know, like, the Australian holiday or fantasy is really, to me, like, always been, like, Bondi Beach. Like, you know, surfing by the water and beachside, whatever. Maybe surfers aren't as attractive as farmers. I don't know.
Or maybe it's not as different. Like, if you're coming from LA where there are beaches, you're like,
oh. Go to another beach.
I just want a rugged Aussie man.
Yeah. Maybe that person needs to come from England and then come to like an Aussie beach, because then that's a good juxtaposition.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, this movie, there's like absolutely no surprises. It follows the formula to a T. Like you said, like fish out of water. She's learning how to work on a farm. So she's getting dirty, working with sheep, making wire fences, like digging out hay. All the stuff that we know and love about farms. And then
she's just trying to have, like,
I love farms. And she's just like, you know, having to prove herself, like, you know what, you think I'm a city girl, you think I'm just in my heels and blouses, but I can roll up my sleeves, I can get dirty, I'm a hard worker, I can do whatever I need to get that client, I need to land Vaughn Wines. So and then the guy's obviously like, oh my god, like, she works really hard, like, maybe I misjudged her, like, she's really cute. And she's like, wow, the girl of my dreams.
Not only is she cute, but she can like build a fence if she needs to. She's not very good, but that's fine. She's cute.
And they do all the stuff that they always do in these little movies where she arrives and it's like, whoa, it's like a farm. It's very different to where I'm used to, where the skyscrapers. And then he takes her for a walk and she's walking in like heeled boots. So it's always like, oh, I'm tripping. There's always this scene and the guy's like, you're gonna need new shoes. And he says the iconic line, you're gonna get yourself some blunnies.
Oh my god, there was so much slang in this movie. I think they only explained one of them, which was like when he said arvo and then he was like, oh, that means afternoon.
Translation, afternoon.
But there was so much like slang being thrown around. And then also in addition, I think we've talked about like different Australian accents as well, but they use like the more, I guess, broader Australian accent. Not too like, but it is present, I guess, in the movie. So I really wonder like how someone who's not from Australia would perceive this movie. Like, is it exotic? Is what I'm asking. Because I think to us, it like didn't feel that Aussie.
It seems like a stereotype or like a really heightened version of what others think Australia is like.
But I didn't also think that it was trying too hard to be Aussie as well, like, except for the time where he explained what arvo was. But everything else, like, I think was fine. Just like, yeah, I wonder, like, do people understand the language? That's what I want to know.
They should have translated blunnies. Because how are people supposed to know? Yeah.
I think I maybe infer from context that it's just like work boots.
Work boots. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It's like she gets handed a pair of bunnies and then they're just like these boots.
And he says stuff like, oh, we need a new jackaroo. Are you going to be our jillaroo? It's just like a lot. He just like kept laughing at all the slang.
I guess you just like guess what that is. Yeah. I think another thing that happened in the movie, which you pointed out when we were watching it, was that she was the one who was like, this coffee is awful. And I'm like,
excuse me.
This is a land of coffee. But I guess it's like because it's Queensland and not Melbourne or something. Maybe that's why they have awful coffee. I don't know.
It's like the audacity for an American to come here and be like, oh, the coffee. Get yourself like, a flat white.
Exactly. But I guess it's like on a farm. They probably don't have a barista or an espresso machine. So fair enough. Where'd you get that B60 from, girl? Have it in her bag.
It's not just a farm. It's a vineyard. So maybe they could have one. Those very nice houses there.
True. I guess they are rich.
Yeah. This movie also does something similar to what Sneakerella did, where it like places this incredible importance on wine. And then it's like, wine tells a story. Wine says so much about you. Wine is like the window to someone's soul. And I'm like, it's crushed grapes. It's crushed fermented grapes. It's expensive, fancy grape juice. Like, it's not that complicated.
I know people really like wine and they, you know, they can appreciate the notes and stuff like that. But it's like, at some point, it's not that deep. Like, you know, it's like, oh, just this is taking me to a fireplace in the woods.
I'm like, I really picture it right now.
I'm like, maybe we are drinking wine wrong.
She did the whole thing in like Ratatouille where he's like transported back to his childhood.
What an amazing glass of wine.
Yeah. And maybe, like, I guess for Sneakerella, we, you know, we're not like hype beasts or anything, but we at least recognize, like, oh, those are the CDG cons or whatever. We could see it. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, when they're talking about the wines and being like, oh, I'm mixing these and whatever, I'm just like, I cannot comprehend any of this. Like, everything means the same to me when it comes to wine. A savvy bee is the same as something else. I can't tell anything. So all of this is just like in the ear and out the other. Like, there's no comprehension going on in my head. I'm like, okay.
Like, it's terminology that I am familiar with, like in terms of like I've heard it before, but whether I can pick them out. Yeah, probably
like
not.
Like the meaning of it, like her saying, I really love this type of wine. I'm like, I don't know what that says about you.
Yeah, I don't know. There's only red and white. That I know.
I do like Moscato because it's sugary. It's like sweet. It's
sweet wines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with it, but I don't think you need to be familiar with it. But maybe you
can
appreciate it more if you had those references, like in mind. Yeah. Like what she said was legit, because I can't tell you whether what she said sounded correct or not. Like, I can't comment on the accuracy of this rom-com.
So, yeah, don't rely on us for that. Like, we don't know anything.
Maybe one of my favorite moments of the movie, which I have to, is kind of a spoiler, but you know, so he reveals that he is the, what do you call it, private invest, no, what is
silent
that?
Silent investor. Silent. Private investigator.
So it's revealed that he's a silent investor in this company, so he's the brother Vaughn.
Brother Vaughn to sister Vaughn. Yes.
And then, you know, when they're doing the wine tour and then the person doing the tour is like, oh, I can't possibly give you a sip of this bottle because a bottle is $200. And then she's like, okay, that's fine. And then he was like, hey, I have this bottle of wine that's $200. I got it for you. I'm like, wow, he must be in deep. Even though he didn't have to technically pay for that wine. $100 bottle of wine.
He was really charmed by her.
Bad.
I guess another part of this movie is her making friends with all the other people working at the farm. I think they just like were very explicit about making a lot of the farm hands and the people sharing the sheep. They were all like women. So her like making friends with other women and finding like that camaraderie. And at first they're like, oh, she's a city girl. Like on her first night, she plugs in all her laptop, her, I don't know, hair straightener, like everything into like one outlet and she causes the power to go out. So they clearly hate her. Fair enough. And one woman's like, oh my God, I'm finally getting to talk to my girlfriend. So this movie is standing with the LGBT as well, just for that little extra bit. And she's like, I'm finally excited to be able to talk to my girlfriend. She's pregnant. And then she makes the power go out. She uses up all the hot water. Like, you know, it's very much the stereotype of like, I'm a fancy city girl and I'm not going to be able to survive in the farm. So they hate her. But in the end, they come around and they teach her, like, this is how you shear a sheep. And they become best friends. And they're all sitting around the campfire singing songs. And it's la-di-da.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. It's all peace. When you go to a farm, go to a rural area, you'll find peace. That's the message of this movie.
Yes, it's like the whole play with like nature and stuff, like nature is healing and you're away from city folk who are toxic, which is fair also because those are pretty terrible.
Disgusting pots. City, yeah.
But yeah, Australia will heal you.
Maybe it's like Australia propaganda.
Tourism Australia.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Did you say propaganda?
It's Aussie propaganda.
Australia is so good.
Peaceful here. Everyone says good day to you and mate. so they start to slowly fall in love. They're like flirting and there's clearly a connection there. And then the scene where this all culminates is when they go camping and it's sort of like, oh, hey, I need to like check this fence. Why don't you come with me and we'll just like sleep over? Like, you know what, like casually, let's just like
just like make it an overnight trip. Yeah.
And then they just like sleep outside and obviously they were going to kiss and we're just like, you know, counting down and we're like, they're going to kiss 3, 2, 1 and then just smashing their faces together.
Oh my God, it was a big kiss.
It was big. It was capital B big. I was like, damn.
And they're really going for it.
I was like, are they going to go further?
Yeah, I really thought they were going to show more, but then you know how they have the ratings at the top. All we got was like violence. Not like any sex scene. So like I feel like in my head I was like, oh, I feel like there's nothing gonna happen after this because we haven't been warned.
I do remember that. We're like, where's this violence coming from?
Yeah, like what violence could there possibly be? And you know where we found it? In a pub fight.
A classic Aussie pub fight.
I was like, I don't think this is really the pinnacle of Australian culture.
Yeah, they make it out to be this big experience, like, oh, this just something just happens in Australia.
Just had my first pub fight. Like, I don't think that's a thing.
I still haven't had my first pub fight.
Yeah, same. Are we just like lacking?
Yeah. And I'm like nearly 30. I'm running out of time.
Well, maybe you've got to go to a pub first and then
just start a fight.
First pub fight. And like, I think that. The thing with the pub fight was that they made it seem like they were just like having fun, but I'm like, is this fun?
I'm not sure.
Like they weren't like that mad about it. They're just kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna just join in. I'm like,
it's sort of like food fight vibes. It's like a pub punch on. Yeah,
punch on. Yeah, sure. It's like not really my thing. Hey,
no,
each to their own, I guess.
Not my favorite thing to do: get into a fist fight.
But I would say it's probably not the most common Australian activity.
Oh my God, actually, let's go back to the big kiss because I just remembered how the big kiss happened. Because they're sleeping, casual sleepover.
Yes, oh my God.
So they've like, they have like this like platform, this wooden platform that's open to the air. And they've like got like two air mattress sort of vibes on it. And they're like, okay, look, ready to sleep. They've had like a great conversation, a great day. And then she like is about to get into bed and they find a snake in it. Classic Australia, just what happens here. And then he grabs it by his hand. It's an Aussie bloke who just grabs a snake and he like chucks it out and he's like, oh, that's done, yeah. Oh, it's just a something snake. It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, whatever. It wasn't poisonous.
Yeah.
That's why he grabbed it.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, what if that happens again? And he like reaches towards her bed and just pulls it to him.
I know. It was a very swift moment.
It was like, we'll just sleep like this then.
No, right next to each other. I was like, oh, that was smooth.
I was like, damn.
Really smooth.
He's practiced that.
Yeah, I'm sure. How many takes do you think he took? I'd love to know.
I'd love to see all the takes.
He's just a natural.
Yeah. He's done that before. Anyway, that's how they kiss. But that was fun to watch.
And then she like goes for it. I think both times she's the one who initiates a kiss.
She loves to kiss.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a boy.
Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, yeah, like we said, like, are they going to go even further? Like, are they ready for that?
I really like outdoors. Like, yeah. And half of me was thinking, well, is it because we've been watching so many Korean dramas that we've just like
a prudes?
Yeah, we've become prudes in the weeks in the lead up to this movie.
Anyway, they have a big fight after in the next morning because he's like, I'm actually Brother Vaughn. She's like, I can't believe you didn't tell me.
She was like, why would you lie to me? And it's like, this is a big deal. Like, I feel like this is in your favor that he's a Brother Vaughn.
And now you can get Vaughn Wines contracted.
Yeah, right. Because
you've just done big kisses with Brother Vaughn.
Yeah, like clearly you're going to like marry Brother Vaughn. So just like,
just celebrate. Do more kisses. No, but she's very angry. She's very disappointed. She's like, I have to go. I can't be with you anymore. It's very serious. Also, she in this movie is like divorced, but she looks like she just graduated uni.
Look, she says she's divorced. It's never really like expanded upon. She's just like, that's a story that she's like had a bad relationship. Oh. It's kind of touched on. And that's why she lives with her dad who looks like her brother.
Looks like her brother.
Like he literally looks the same age.
And she's like, dad. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yes, exactly. Like they explicitly have to call each other daughter and dad because... Yeah. Otherwise, it's not obvious.
It's literally unbelievable. It looks just physically impossible that he could be
physically, and also just I think his personality was like young, and like not that she was giving old energy or anything, but it just felt like the same stage of life,
peer group. Yeah. Yeah, and she's like, you know, I quit my job, I got whatever, and he's just like, yeah, that's great. I'm like, really? Nope. I'm in Australia. Okay, cool. No worries. Go have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
And also because, like, the friends, like, so the dad's friends were, like, openly asking her about her dating life. And, like, I guess I think they even mentioned, like, she was sleeping with or something. Like, it was something along those lines.
I remember,
And then it's just like, oh, you said that in front of her dad? Like, like that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, it was a strange, like, setup for her character. I'm like, I'm not sure what value it added to know that she was divorced.
Probably going for that, like, oh, a bit cynical in love, whatever. But it didn't really show up that much.
Yeah, I don't think she really came across as being overly cynical. I think, like, when she found out that he was a Brother Vaughn, she was a bit, like, taken aback. And then she did mention her previous experience, but it wasn't, like, a big barrier, I think. Mm.
And she wasn't, like, closing herself off to him during the initial flirtation stage. Like, I can't get close to you or whatever. She's very into it, so...
Random detail. I wonder if that's just a inclusion thing, like, like, oh, we have divorced people too, and they can fall.
Fall in love as well.
I don't know. I really don't know because it doesn't seem like she's that old as well.
Yeah,
it feels like not
to have that life experience and all.
Yeah. Like it just feels like it doesn't add one. It doesn't really add to her character, and two, it's not shown. Yeah, three, she doesn't look like she's had that experience. Like, you know. Because she looks young.
Yeah. I think the movie then, like, once she finds out he's Brother Vaughn, she goes back to the vineyard and it's like her old boss is there and he's like, oh, my God, yay. Like, you actually, I'll rehire you. Let's get this Vaughn Wines contract. And she's like, no, she stands up against him and is sort of like, I don't need you. And if I don't get the Vaughn contract, then I don't get it. I'm just going to walk away. And she does that. But before she does, she, like, gives Sister Vaughn the wine bottle that she redrew with a picture of their great-great whatever grandma who was, like, single mom, crushing it on the farm, being a girl boss. And there's, like, a picture of her and it's like, wine tells a story and I think Vaughn Wines could tell this story and the legacy of your family, blah, blah, blah. And Sister Vaughn is like, damn, that's so impressive. And then she goes back to LA.
So the story is that they actually go with her old company because they are the bigger, more experienced distributors, whatever. And then they find out that that contract has soured and been cancelled. And so they're like, let's get this bag. Well, actually, they had like, oh, yeah, we of course, it like fell through. And then Levon turns up at a wine market.
A wine market. I think it's like a wine expo or something. Not like an outdoor liquor land. Anyway, he shows up in his fancy suit and he's like, I want you back. And then they get back. And they do big kisses at this expo.
Yeah, cute.
I'm like, he's not very professional, but okay.
Yeah, you do you. I guess he's your client, but like, whatever.
And then the next time you see them, they're back in Australia. One of the farmhands or Jillaroos is getting married to a girlfriend, and you're like, wow, cute. And then they do big kisses at someone else's wedding.
Yeah. Big kisses at all these inappropriate places. It's like, not your wedding.
Cute, guys.
Get a room.
Yeah, but like, cute.
I don't know. Yeah, what's the moral of this story? The Stick moral to your is... guns. Be a girl boss.
Gatekeep girl boss.
And I don't know. Fall for the handsome Aussie man.
Yeah. Stick to your guts. Go with your intuition. That's why she ended up in Australia.
Follow your dreams.
Go for the nice guy. So many life lessons in that.
Do you remember that scene where she's like, oh, she's like, what's happening outside? And she just like peeks her head out and he's like, hey, shirtless. And she's just like, ooga, ooga.
And she has to turn away because she's like, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm so
Then he like looks at her and knows that she'd seen him and is like, exactly why I took my shirt off.
I know I impressed her.
Yeah, I know what I did.
And then there was that scene in the hot tub and she like went in her underwear. Do you remember that?
A swimming pool. Why?
Was it a swimming pool?
You're hot tub. Slide out of the gutter. Please. This is only M.
This movie has made my mind filthy. I've been so pure.
It was a swimming pool. And she went in her underwear, but she had a top on or something. So it was fine.
Yeah. I think we're like, take it off. She didn't.
Unfortunately. But yeah, like I think overall the movie was actually quite fun. And I think they've kind of hit like a good balance where, you know, there's like fun moments, funny moments. I think Victoria Justice and also the male lead are pretty like endearing as well. I think Victoria Justice, she's kind of come back as a rom-com lead. And I think like she really does it well because I think when we think about like Victoria Justice and like, what's it called? So Victorious or Victorious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Victorious.
Show.
Yeah.
Like that show had a lot of comedy moments, right? So she's basically a trained comedy actor. So
she's on SNL.
So she has this experience and I think she makes good use of it in movies like this where she can play on, you know, do a bit of slapstick, but she can also like carry like the lead role as well and convincingly. So I think like a lot of the movie just works because the actors are just likable. The storyline is, you know, it is what it is. And I don't think that the lines were overly cheesy or anything. Like they kind of hit a sweet spot with this one where it's like, oh, that was actually kind of charming in a weird way.
Yeah, I feel like she's going down the Vanessa Hudgens route, like just becoming a firm, rom-com lead. Mm. You can depend on her to deliver. If it's on Netflix, like I mean, all the streaming services are making so many rom coms now. This is the new home of rom coms. So she's gonna. I can see her as a fixture of them because she's good at them. I think, and I think one of the most important things in a rom com is the chemistry between the leads. Like, do they play off against each other well? Like, do you believe that love that is, you know, blossomed in a matter of a couple of days or weeks is true? And they do that. So then you're like, you know what? I love this. You guys are meant to be.
Yeah.
I want to see you guys together. So it's fun.
Yeah, you like, you go on that journey with them. Mm. You want to see them like have a happy ending. Mm. I think you do want that in this movie. You kind of like, oh, yeah, you guys are cute, I guess. Like,
together for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's a winner.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah. Mm. It's funny.
She uses another Aussie term. Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, nah.
Those are a lot of yeah, nah.
Yeah, nah.
I was like, is that one obvious?
Yeah, and she eats Vegemite. She does all the classic things.
Yeah. And she spits it out. Rude.
Yeah. Disgusting.
You don't like Vegemite?
No, it's a treasure. I'm disgusted that she spat it out.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page about that.
A waste of that beautiful yeast.
Beautiful, salty spread.
yum. So good and savory.
I'm kind of craving it now.
A late night Vegemite on toast.
Alas, I don't have either toast or Vegemite.
Oh my god, are you okay? Are you struggling? Yes. The two necessities in life.
I would say those aren't the necessities in life. Good to have. I feel like I should buy to buy some spread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
That is a perfect pairing. Vegemite on toast. That is the perfect
pairing. That is a good pairing.
And what are your thoughts on wine? I know we've already said we're not big wine fans. Do you like any wine?
What do you mean by like?
Would you willingly drink them for fun?
Oh, not for myself or anything. If someone ordered wine at the table, I'd have a few sips, sure. Like, you know, you go to dinner and someone has like orders a bottle for the table or something. I'd have a little bit. I wouldn't say I particularly enjoy it. Like, I don't appreciate it. Sorry. Maybe that's the better way to say it. Like, I don't appreciate wine. Also can't drink a lot of wine. So Muscat is good. Tasted some other wines where like it's actually decent, but whether I would actually like seek it out is probably the other question, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know anything about wines. Alice, I'm gonna quiz you. Swirling a wine round in the glass, what does that do?
Releases the aromas, I don't know. Aromas.
You're correct. It increases the surface area to like allow it to react with oxygen and release the aromas.
I've been to wineries.
A wine you are tasting has a narrow rim with a deep color all the way to the edge. On the palate, it has a high tannin, black fruit, and black pepper. What wine is it?
Ooh, it's one of those like deeper reds. Bold. A bold red. What's a bold red? Like a Merlot or something? What's the
Your options are a young Syrah from Northern Rhone, an old Shiraz from South Australia, an old Cabernet Sauvignon from Chile, and a young Riesling from Austria.
What the hell?
What are these words?
What was the first one?
S-Y-R-A-H. Syrah?
Okay, I have no idea.
It's definitely not a Shiraz.
Definitely not a Riesling because it's What was the description?
Habby. It has high tannin, black fruit, and black pepper. Has a narrow rim with a deep color all the way to the edge.
Yeah, no idea.
Should we guess Shiraz or Cabby?
Shiraz?
It was the young Syrah, but I don't even know what that is. The next wine you smell has a lot of tertiary aromas such as mushroom, earth, and forest floor. What might that indicate? A. It's a young wine made by carbonic maceration. B. It's a wine that's been aged in a bottle for a long time. C. The wine is corked. D. It's a white wine made at cool temperature in stainless steel. The corked?
I don't know.
Oh no, it means it's aged in a bottle for a really long time.
Okay.
Okay. In conclusion, we don't know anything.
It still means nothing to me. Even when you know the answer. I feel like I'd love to know more like of the I do like understand there's a lot of like scissors that go into wine, so that's why there's so many different varieties, so much like different tastes and stuff, but I just like don't like it enough, we want to know or like to appreciate it, I think.
Yeah.
Just like coffees and stuff. Like I think coffee is something I would love to get more into because I do love coffee. I would love to like be able to differentiate between like different notes, tastes, processes and stuff. But wine.
We should do a barista course.
Barista course. I was thinking you were going to say like a tasting course, but like to actually make the coffee.
Wouldn't it be fun to do the machine? Tappy, tappy.
I think it's harder work than you think it is.
How hard could it be? I just see them tap, tap.
Because like to push the thing into the thing, you got to go like, you know, put a lot of strength into it. And then you're like, yeah. I think it's a lot more manual work than probably I would like to do.
And then we could try the latte art.
That could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back to you. I'm sure there'll be something like similar.
It'll be a bit more effort than chucking in an espresso pod for sure.
Mean.
That's as far as we've got it.
Yeah, like a barista course or something like some sort of coffee education thing. I would love to do that, to be honest.
You know that coffee place you hate in Melbourne because they were like, we don't do other milk.
Yeah, on Market Lane.
Yeah, they do like tasting courses.
But they also do oat milk now.
They've changed?
They only offer oat or regular milk because they're like, oats like the closest to regular milk.
Okay.
Still speaks to me like they're pretentious, but you know.
They do like tasting mornings or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That would be cool. But I mean, we don't live in Melbourne either.
Sadly. But you know, I'm sure we could find a place that does that in Sydney.
I'm trying to think, you know, owner in Marrickville?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they, from memory, they do something like that. Like a tasting. I don't think it's like a full session or anything, but I think like they do like a tasting board or something of that caliber.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do feel like with coffee, like I can't always put words to it, but I can sometimes differentiate, like, especially when it's like cold drip or cold brew and different types of filters. Like I'm like, oh, this one actually tastes a bit more fruity or sweet. And I can taste something in it. Yeah. Like you said, it'd be fun to develop that and be actually able to be like, oh, that's like this cherry or whatever. Yeah.
I think it's easier to pick those notes when it's like black coffee, specifically like through filter or like cold drip or something. Cause I think those, when you do it that way, like the flavor notes do come out like stronger or more prominent than in like an espresso. I think I can a little bit, but you'd have to like tell me and then I'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can pick those notes. Or like if it's like, or like a vague description, like, oh, this is chocolatey. Like I can, yeah, something like I could probably pick that, but it's like a very vague term. It's not like a specific, like this is orange and this is like citrus peel or whatever.
Something to learn. Would love to learn. But yeah, a perfect pairing is something you should definitely check out over the weekend when you've got a spare hour and a bit. Just pop it on. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I think it was actually fun. Silly but fun. Yeah.
Wait, I want to look up what song were they singing.
Oh, by the campfire?
Yeah, because I swear to God it was like on an RMA ad or something. It sounded so familiar.
Yeah, I think they've used it on like a Australian TV before.
She sings Home. Okay, so the song is Home by, I think, Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. And apparently it was like charted really well on Triple J. But it's an American group. So it didn't do too well in America, but it came to Australia and we loved it. Something definitely to check out. We recommend. What will we be watching next week, Alice? Have we decided? Good question. We'll get back to you guys. We'll come back and there'll be something.
Surprise!
Surprise! Wait, I need to pee. I'll be back.
Okay.
I'm back. Hey!
Things I Hate About You.
That classic.
So good. I love that movie.
I haven't watched it in a very long time.
Love that movie. I'll cry again. I always cry when she does the speech.
Oh, really?
It gets me because it's so emotional.
Oh,
and it, oh my God, I'm like,
oh my God, she's dying. Even just talking about it.
I'm like, I really feel her character. Like, she's like this hardened woman. She has had to put on this face because, you know, she's a riot girl. She's a feminist. She's an older sister. She has to put on this tough girl image. And then she has to also be real with her feelings. And she hates doing it, but she just has to. Like, it's, you know.
Okay, I guess we're watching 10 Things I Hate About You.
That was just a suggestion.
But I'm very happy to do it because I can't think of anything. Look, we're going to figure out what we're doing next week. It could be 10 Things I Hate About You, but we could come back to you with something random. We'll see.
Keep you any
time. Yeah. Any final words from you, Alice, for this week?
Can't wait till the weekend. Words of happiness only. Yes. Positive vibes only.
Yes. Okay, great. Yeah, love the weekend.
Love the weekend.
We're gonna have a fun weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm actually excited. We're gonna go eat at a Hong Kong cafe that we've been wanting to go to for a while.
Yum yum yum.
Not on Instagram, so I've been trying to find like the stuff by the location.
Yeah.
Maybe they are on Instagram, but I can't find the handle, to be honest. Or even when I go to the shopping center's main page.
Oh, you can't find it.
I can't find it. But anyway, I've been thinking about what I want to eat because, you know, limited space. So
you really gotta prioritize.
I just gotta be smart, you know.
We can report back on what we ate and if it was good or not. Wait, is it Hong Kong Cafe? Oh, no, something
different. I can't remember what it's called, to be honest. It's something of that.
Yeah, nature. It's always a Hong Kong something or other.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking because, like, some of the stuff on the menu sounds so good. You know what I definitely want? definitely want that toast with the Milo on top.
Yes.
I'm talking about
non-negotiable.
I feel like I definitely want that. I don't know what else I want to accompany with that. Like, what's my main meal? I have no idea. You know what
that's
mean?
A dessert. Yeah.
Mm. I definitely want a coffee at some stage in the day.
that can be arranged. For sure.
I don't know if I can fit it in there.
Just sip it really slowly and then put it in the fridge like you always do.
And then drink it the next day.
Yeah. Mm, day old coffee. Yum, yum, yum. yeah, it looks like we have a jam-packed, fun weekend ahead of us. So we are looking mm-hmm. forward to it. Mm-hmm. I hope the same goes for all of you.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
I feel like the intro to this episode was more like, I don't think I was thinking. I was just like, and now Chip and Dale.
Like, next time we have to talk about Chip and Dale.
Like, what's the context?
Chip and Dale.